It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
This is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder how much should people who follow Jesus Christ be fearful? Yes, fearful. A lot of people are so afraid today. My friends, the phrase fear not is found constantly in Scripture over 300 times. It is the most multiplicative command in Scripture. Governments, however, such as, just to pull one out of the hat, our government in California, governments enjoy keeping people fearful because you scare the people and you can make them do anything, even laying down their rights and freedoms and republic for a disease with a 99% recovery rate. They say it's about safety and health. Oh, yes, they stay up at night. They lose sleep, concerned about your health, concerned about my health. It brings a tear to my eye. But when health experts who contradict the narrative say otherwise, they get censored. They get removed from Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. One of the signs of getting COVID, and it is a real disease, it's being exploited, but it is real. People get different symptoms. One of them is losing your sense of smell. It doesn't happen to everybody, and most people who lose their sense of smell get it back eventually, but we should all be smelling something about now. I smell a rat in Sacramento. I smell a rat, well, many rats in Washington, D.C. Nevertheless, they are trying to scare the twilight out of us with this new Omicron variant of COVID-19, and just in time for the Christmas season, they issued a new mask mandate. What better way to suck all the joy out of our holiday? Well, it didn't work for me. I had a wonderful Christmas. I hope you did too. And what better way to kick off our new year than to bring on my good friend and recurring co-host, Jim Barrier. Jim, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bob. And you scared me there for a minute because you talked about something smelling rotten, and then you said, and now, and I thought you were going to introduce me.
Well, Jim, even if that were true as your friend, I'd be much more discreet about it.
I know you would. Well, Happy New Year to you, Bob. I'm so glad to be on the show. And I think this has kind of become a tradition where we do either the last show of the year or the first show of the year.
Yeah.
Together. And so we can do a little review.
We are kicking off 2022 and saying goodbye to 2021. Yeah. Absolutely. I do like that tradition. And are you going to make some of your predictions like you do every year, too?
Oh, yeah. In the second half of the show, we're going to do that.
Why don't you make all your sports predictions, and then you can make a bunch of predictions that you're actually accurate in.
Well, no, I told Brendan I haven't been right on any of the sports ones.
I know. Yet. Well, that was the purpose of my little sarcastic comment just then.
So the bar is set pretty low here.
Yes, it is.
No pressure.
You might, and sooner or later, and of course, especially since I ribbed you about it, you'll probably get one or two of them right this time, right?
Well, when you hear what I have to say, you might not be too sure of that. and last year, we looked back, at the end of 2020, you know, we thought 2020 was horrible. It's got to get better.
Oh, no, I did not. I can still find my old radio shows. I went on the air and said, ladies and gentlemen, you're all assuming that just because the calendar is going to change, these idiotic, moronic mandates are going to change. It's just a calendar. It's just a piece of paper on the wall. And not all that much has changed, has it? It's been 2 years almost that we've been going through this COVID thing and this nonsense. 2 years. My prediction, if I may be so bold, is don't expect this stuff to go away anytime soon. I'm not making a prediction about what the disease will do. I'm just making a prediction about what the government will do.
Yeah, well, and I will make some predictions about that in a little bit, or at least some reflections. But I think 2021 might have been even worse than 2020. Just crazy stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit.
In many ways, it was worse in the sense that we knew by then that although depending on your age and depending on your conditions and preconditions, COVID was a threat. We knew by then that it was not the threat to most people that they had made it out to be, and that hasn't stopped people. By state, city by city, and county by county, it's different. But in some places, such as New York, such as California, they're just as bad, worse in places.
Yeah. And it is a real thing, folks. Bob said that, and I had a good friend who died from COVID.
As did I. I did too, yeah. So we're taking the disease very seriously, but we take tyrannical governments very seriously too. That's our point. Those are not mutually exclusive ideas.
No. And, you know, and I spent just a few weeks ago, I was up in Colorado, kind of an emergency. I went up there to stay with my daughter who had COVID real bad. I was quite concerned because I'd never seen her look that bad. And it was a tough go, but we got her through it. I myself didn't contact anything, and after that time, I got tested, and I was negative.
And I'm glad to hear that, my friend. A lot of us were praying for you, and I'm so grateful that your daughter is doing okay. And what a dad you are to just fly out there and be with her.
And she's doing great. She's back at work. I'm happy to report that, and even happier to report she's decided to move back to San Antonio, where I live, and I'm very happy to have her and all the kids here, and we'll be glad whenever that happens.
Well, that's good. Do you think her having gotten COVID had anything to do with that, being kind of alone and needing you to fly out there and take care of you?
If you've ever been alone and sick, it's a horrible, horrible feeling.
Oh, absolutely it is.
So I think that had some of it. And it's, I think, 2 degrees where she lives right now tonight. And being a San Diego girl, that 2-degree stuff, you never get used to it.
Even COVID can't survive in just 2 degrees. Oh, wait a minute. It can unless you put on a mask. Then it goes away.
The mask always helps. Yeah. So, but personally, I may be the one person who had a great year. It was a wonderful year for me. As you know, I had 3 books published. I've been doing the podcast, which is doing extremely well. I'm on this show, and I just love being on this show. And by the way, did I hear you do a promo that you're doing a Sunday morning show now also?
No, there's another guy called Bob. What's his name, Brendan?
Zadak.
Yes. You hear Bob Zadak, and it sounds a little bit like Bob Siegel. I've also been confused for Bob Seger when I've traveled around. I've gone to a college campus. I hear Bob Seger's coming. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm Bob Siegel.
Great singer out of Detroit. Yeah. Okay.
Boy, would they have been in for a rude awakening.
Had my 70th birthday. Leslie and I celebrated our 40th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations on both. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So it was a great year for me. Now, I don't know when the break is going to come up, but I'm going to start in on my next piece. And we have to do this, sadly, every year, but we said goodbye to some, I would call them friends. They're celebrities. Most of these people I never met. One or two of them, maybe, but
Betty White's the first one that comes to my mind. She was just a legend.
Well, that was the last one on my list.
I'm sorry, I messed it up by putting her on first.
The first one is Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, the Queen of England's husband, died at the age of 99. Maybe not as popular here in the States, but I found him to be a fascinating person. And if you've ever watched the drama The Crown, which is on streaming video and stuff, it's very interesting. And he was portrayed as an intriguing character.
It's interesting. Royalty is very important to the Brits, even though years ago stripped the royalty of all real power and put all the power into their government and their parliament and the prime minister. And yet, as figureheads, it seems like the royal family has been as important to them as back in the days when they had power. That's just the way it seems to me from this side of the ocean.
We haven't had anything quite like that.
We have celebrities that think they're royalty. We have a governor in California who thinks he's royalty.
Yeah.
He rules as if he's royalty, that's for sure. I'm sorry. Sorry, folks. I've been on vacation the last 2 weeks. I'm hot and I'm boiled up and I'm letting it all out. What can I say?
That's okay. It's our New Year's show. More people that we lost this year. Drummer for the Rolling Stones, Charlie Watts, died at the age of 80. And Charlie was kind of like Ringo. He was a great 1-2 man. He wasn't a sensational, over-the-top drummer that did solos and stuff, but he kept the beat like nobody. Charlie has left us.
And like Ringo, he was part of a band that was probably more well-known than a lot of drummers who are fantastic drummers.
Oh, my gosh,
because of the association of the band he was with.
They're still touring, my goodness. 80 years old. Michael Nesmith of the Monkees died at the age of 78.
Oh, I had not heard about that. Boy, and this was the generation in the 60s that said we're never going to trust anybody over 30, and they're all in their 70s and 80s. It's really uncanny.
Yeah, now we don't trust anybody under 30. You see. some sports figures, and these are just some favorites of mine. My favorite race car driver of all time, Al Unser Sr., who won the Indy 500 four times, died at the age of 82. The real home run king, that would be Hank Aaron, who hit 755 home runs. And when he was chasing Babe Ruth's record, he received hate mail and death threats.
Really? Because of people that were such diehard Babe Ruth fans?
Because Hank Aaron was black.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was contemporary to Willie Mays and Jackie Robinson. And
he was one of the first
to come up. And Henry Aaron lived to be 86. And I'm giving these ages, there's a reason for it. Tommy Lasorda happens to be my favorite manager of all time, was the manager of the Dodgers, which happens to be my least favorite team. But I love Tommy Lasorda. He was baseball's great ambassador. I met him one time. He was a fascinating person, died at the age of 93. And today, all day, they've been celebrating or honoring John Madden, former coach of the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders. John Madden had the highest winning percentage of any NFL coach in history with 100 games or more. What a lot of people don't know, folks in San Diego might know this, he was the defensive coordinator under Don Coryell at San Diego State University. And as so many great coaches got their start under Don Coryell. John Madden won 14 Emmys as an announcer. He was in numerous commercials, coined the term boom, which everybody loves to use now, and he's probably known to millennials because of the Madden NFL video games.
Okay, hold that thought, Jim, and we're going to have more. Well, we'll have some of Jim's predictions and more laments over some of the icons that passed away. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
That's right. It's January, and I'm still playing Christmas music. You're not listening to a repeat from December. Since the state of California took it upon itself to suck all the joy out of our Christmas with these idiotic mask mandates, I took the liberty of extending Christmas a little bit. And let me extend welcome once again to Jim Barrier.
And I thank you for playing Christmas music. I love Christmas music. I would probably play Christmas music all year long, except it would drive some of the people around me a little crazy. So I don't do that.
Well, I don't drive my audience crazy with it all winter, but to myself, I listen to Christmas music all winter. Once it's spring, even I am ready for Christmas to stop. But I wanted to extend it at least 1 week over the air here.
I love it. I was in Austin a few years back in July for an event, and we went into a restaurant, and there was a guy, a piano player playing on the, you know, in the lounge, and he was playing Linus and Lucy, the song we just went out to at the commercial break. And I went up and tipped him. I said, thank you for knowing that Linus and Lucy can be played all year long. And that's the song, the piano tune there by Vince Guaraldi.
Exactly, the wonderful Vince Guaraldi.
Yeah, from the Charlie Brown Christmas, which I know you do stuff about movies every year. And
that is on my top 10 list of one of the best Christmas videos or movies of all time. Absolutely.
I love that. One year at Christmas, when I was pastoring down here, during I was reading the story, you know, the account of the birth of Christ that's found in Matthew and Luke. And I had a recording of Linus reading that passage, and I just played that. Because every time I read that passage, I hear it in Linus's voice.
Well, it was interesting because when they made that Christmas special, Charles Schulz, who was a very dedicated Christian, a lot of people don't know that, he wanted the actual gospel to be in there. And the producers and the CBS execs were saying, this is a cartoon. How do we just suddenly put in something like the gospel? And then, of course, there's all the freak out about this is network television. Should we be that religious? And they finally figured out, let Linus do it, because Linus, to some degree, was always the voice of reason in those comic strips.
Yeah.
So it worked out perfectly that everybody else would be into everything else in the presence, and Linus would be the one of them who knew the Christmas story. It actually worked very well.
It was brilliant. Now, we were talking about some of the celebrities that have moved on, and at the top of that, you mentioned Betty White, and everybody loves Betty White, and she died 17 days before turning 100, which is just incredible. And I just want to give my favorite quote by Betty White. My favorite foods are hot dogs, and red vines, which is licorice, and potato chips, and French fries. So if you want to live to be 100 or close to it, take the Betty White diet. She was so funny. And I think a lot of things are genetic, and sometimes you just have good fortune and don't get run over by a bus. But Betty White, bless her heart, she
was hilarious, too. Did you ever see her on some of those Comedy Central roasts? She was just a kick.
Oh,
and then on the Mary Tyler Moore show, that part she played, Sue Ann Nevin, just hilarious.
Well, of course, I first got acquainted with her when she was Alan Ludden's wife.
Right. Didn't she used to join him on Password from time to time?
Yeah, she was on there all the time.
Oh, she was on all the time. I knew they were married. Yeah. I knew he was the host. I didn't remember that she was on. I was pretty sure she was on part of the time.
And right there, half of your audience is going, who? Now, I want to point something out. All of these people lived to these ages of 99, 80, 78, 82, 86, 93, 85, almost 100. The average lifespan in America is 79. It's the same thing in the UK, by the way, for men. And all of these people, except for Michael Nesmith, lived past the average age And Michael lived to 78, so he just missed it by a year. I'm saying this because every time we have some celebrities die within a few days of each other, people go on all the social media and they go, oh, they come in threes. And they're, you know, like there's some cosmic conspiracy going on, picking off people that we loved. And it really, it's just numbers. It's averages. The average lifespan is 79. If anybody gets past that, well, they beat the odds already. So I just like to point that out.
And I want to point out that they lived a very long time without wearing masks, too. So that's worth pointing out.
Okay, you got to work that in. Speaking of that, let's segue. Of course, 2021 was the year of COVID.
It was the second year of COVID, Jim.
But it dominated every headline, everything. I couldn't watch a football game without them saying the word COVID.
Yeah, well, $20 says that next year at this time we're going to be having the same conversation.
Well, here's the thing, though. They've gotten creative with it because we had COVID-19, then Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Omicron. I tell you, it sounds like a new Transformers movie.
I know. Oh, boy. I read something on Facebook right during the holidays that said only 5 more variants before Christmas instead of 5 more days.
Exactly.
It was great.
But it did dominate so much of the media.
Well, the very doctor who discovered that variant said it wasn't all that concerning. And it doesn't matter. I mean, the politicians just salivate a chance for more control.
Yeah, it was just, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste.
That's exactly it, and they shamelessly admit this. I know I sound like a broken record, but we need it on record that people are speaking out against this. We are going to go down in history as the stupidest, most idiotic generation that ever lived.
Well, we've got a shot at it, I suppose. it's crazy.
That's the understatement of the new year, Jim. And the year's pretty young, but you now have the record of the understatement of the new year.
Yeah, it's kind of scary when you see how uninformed people can be, or just the silly things that people believe and say. It's just kind of scary.
And I don't blame the people. If you're out there and you've been frightened, I don't blame you, because every time you turn on the TV or the radio, not this show so much, but generally what you're listening to is scaring you to death. And of course, people want to live. They're concerned about their children. They're concerned about their parents. People that are of a certain age and certain preconditions, we should be concerned about them. We should be protecting them. But good grief. I shouldn't have said good grief. I'm going to be accused of culturally appropriating Charlie Brown. Sorry.
Oh, man. But, I mean, you know, restaurants were shut down. Sporting events and concerts were canceled. Airline flights were canceled. Masks and vaccines.
Yeah, and you have to wear your mask to your table, and supposedly you're supposed to take it off between bites. Nobody enforces that. I'm sure somebody somewhere does.
Who can do that?
But they have it on paper. While you're chewing or drinking, the COVID just magically disappears. It's amazing, Jim. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it really is. It's quite a thing. And all the while, Big Pharma keeps getting richer and more powerful.
And laughing all the way to the bank while they tell us how concerned they are about our health. They're just here to keep you and I safe.
Every time I hear somebody say, follow the science, I say, follow the money.
Yeah, I follow the science everywhere. I follow it on YouTube where it gets taken down. I follow it on Facebook where it gets taken down. I follow it on networks that people say don't give real news. And I love it when people say, oh, you get your news from OAN or you get your news from Fox or the Epic Times. Oh, that's not good news. That's not real news. That's fake information. And my question, if you're one of those who feels that way, my friends, I have just one question. You have your news sources. I have mine. In what way exactly have you vetted your news sources? How have you been looking up their so-called facts? Even Facebook has come out and admitted that their fact checkers are not really giving facts, but giving opinions. They did that to avoid a lawsuit because they found themselves in court and their attorneys were saying, well, you could be liable if you're actually claiming these are facts. You're going to have to prove it. So it's like, woohoo, jumping Jiminy. We didn't mean to call it a fact. We just meant it was an opinion. Yeah, we call them fact checkers so we can see where it may have looked that way. And is any of this really news to us? But again, if you're out there and you're worried about COVID and you're wearing your mask earnestly, I'm not blaming you. Honestly, I'm not. It's not your fault. You've been bombarded with fear, but I am going to suggest that you find some other sources.
Yeah, they're hard to find, though, aren't they? So listen to the Bob Siegel Show. You get some good.
Well, there's many shows and many national shows that are saying this, but I'm going to say it too. Okay, my friend, hold with me. But you are listening to the Bob Siegel Show, and we will be right back.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, "I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down." Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, and it's time for that very sacred part of our show. Stump, Jim Barrier, Brendan Thomas, our producer, what do you have for us today?
All right.
What do we have?
All right. So in celebration of 40 years of marriage, I went back to the year 1981.
Wait, 40 one. Years of, oh, wow. 40 years of Jim's marriage.
That's correct, yes. Jim's marriage, yes.
Because you'd have to be celebrating 1 month of marriage.
Exactly, something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but
a long way to go, pal.
I get that a lot. So, in celebration, here was the number 4 song of that year. Let's see if you can get it.
I don't hear it.
Our life. Together.
Oh, that's Sean Lennon.
That's correct. But what song?
I'm Starting Over.
Oh, wow. That was easy.
Starting Over.
Yep. We have good job.
I would never have gotten that in a million years, even if I'd been married 50 years.
I got it in 40 years. How's that?
Very good. Wow.
Well, I love that. Thank you again. That's kind of a like pitching a softball over the plate for me because I am a big Beatles fan and a big John Lennon fan.
Yeah, me too.
Great song.
Oh, thank you very much.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Let me ask you this also. When we came back, we had Holly Jolly Christmas, but it was not Burl Ives. Was that Gene Autry?
No, that was Michael Bublé.
Oh, really? That was Michael Bublé?
That was Michael Bublé.
Wow.
Okay, so after Jim won the official stump, Jim Barrier, he admittedly lost the unofficial bumper music kind of sort of stumped Jim Barry.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Well, I knew it wasn't Burl Ives, but I thought it was the country thing, so there you go. Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
I didn't think it sounded all that different than the Burl Ives version. I would have thought it was
sounded pretty
Burl
nice,
Ives.
Honestly. Yeah, yeah. Can I add some of my celebrities that I actually want to say, like, rest in peace to?
Oh, absolutely. By all means.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Christopher Plummer, he was one of my favorite actors.
One of my favorites, and The Sound of Music is actually my favorite movie of all time. Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it your favorite?
But he's a wonderful actor in everything he's been in, yes.
I was a huge fan of his books growing up. Eric Carle passed away in 2021.
I'm not as familiar with his
He
work.
Made little kids' books, specifically The Very Hungry Caterpillar,
oh!
The Very Quiet Cricket.
Yeah, I've heard of those books, but I wasn't familiar with the author's name.
He passed away. He's from San Diego as well, I believe, so...
There's a lot of writers from San Diego. Dr.
Seuss
used to live here.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys missed this one. Rush Limbaugh, he passed away in 2021.
Well, you know, it was so early in 2021 that, I did do a whole tribute to Rush on my podcast, but it was such a long time ago. He's somebody we should not forget. So good call, Brendan.
Yeah.
Quick there you go.
And three more quick shout outs. I know you guys don't listen to rap music personally, but I just want to give a shout out to DMX for some good music. And while, you know, rap isn't for everybody, he at least had conversations of different topics in his songs that make you really think. So I want to have a shout out to him. Ed Asner passed away in 2021. Loved him as an actor,
I had not heard about Ed Asner.
Yeah, yeah. He passed away in 2021.
Wow. And you know, he's mostly known as Lou Grant from Mary Tyler Moore, but he was a very versatile actor.
Yeah.
Rich man, poor man, Roots. He played very different kinds of characters.
He was in Up, if you didn't know, as well, too. He was the old man in the movie Up.
I did see that movie. That was excellent. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Two people from the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Don Everly from the Everly Brothers. He was the last brother to be alive.
Yeah.
And then lastly,
by his brother.
Yeah. Lastly, Dusty Hill from ZZ Top as well. So we will have you all in memory.
It is sad we grow up with these people. And I'm guessing that whether Jim likes rap or not, he's probably very familiar with the artist because he seems to know everything about artists.
I knew all of those names that he mentioned. And of course, qualified. I had several of those originally. And I thought, well, I'm just going to pick the ones that are my favorite. And forgive me for not including Rush Limbaugh, but I was not a big fan of Rush.
Really? Now, that surprises me, because certainly his viewpoints and your viewpoints are compatible. Was it his style that you didn't like?
It was more the style thing. When he first came on, way back, I still lived in San Diego back in the 80s and first heard him. And I thought he was funny. He was entertaining. But then... he seemed like he started taking himself more seriously, and they kind of lost my audience. But that's just me. That's just me. So, well, thanks for
that. I feel like none of us would be doing talk radio if it weren't for Rush, because he, in many ways, gave talk radio – well, talk radio was out, but conservative talk radio being as popular as it is, I believe we all owe that to Rush.
I definitely say he revolutionized talk radio in general, not even just on a conservative point of view.
He certainly holds his place in that. Okay. Well, there you go. And I'm sure those people were all over 79, most of them, maybe not DMX. But
what's scary is none of those ages sound that old to me anymore, because I was one of those people. There's a line from one of my plays that I wrote many years ago that says, "Who cares what happens to us after we turn 60? Boy, have I seen the error of my lack of wisdom.
Yeah,
Let me just publicly say that over the air.
I'm just hitting my stride, man.
You are, actually. You're doing great. As you said, you had a great year last year. It's a horrible year for everybody else, but you had a great year at least, Jim.
I certainly did.
Actually, I had a great year. I think Brendan had a great year. He got married.
So can't complain yet.
You can. The year certainly ended on a high note, that's for sure.
If I complain now, I'm going to get it by the wife.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Brendan, just between you, me, and Jim, I'm sure there's nobody else listening. What's it really like in your marriage?
Newlyweds? it's fun. She needs to take advantage and say, oh, this is our first December 20th. 8th together, and I'm like, well, now you're just going to make every single day seem like the
women,
first, which is true.
Women will do that with holidays. This is the anniversary of the first date we went on.
I mean, she even does month-iversaries, and like, oh, it's our one-month anniversary. I'm like, it's anniversary.
After about a year, it stops.
Yeah, I hope. Cross fingers.
I was going to say, you know, Brandon, I think you are up on your Star Wars knowledge and folklore, and I was going to quote General Akbar. It's a trap!
It's true.
Don't answer that question.
General Akbar. I used to call him Admiral Cockroach. He looked like a big cockroach.
Yeah.
Actually, upon closer study, I think they were trying to make him reminiscent of a squid, but he struck me as a cockroach.
I think he was. Yeah, Admiral Akbar. Now, one more thing from the past year, and then I want to move toward predictions. In October, there was a NASCAR race in Kansas City, and it was won by a driver named Brandon Brown. And during the post-race...
Oh, is this the Let's Go Brendan phase?
Yeah, they started chanting, bleep Joe Biden. And the reporter, Kelly Savas, quickly said, they're chanting, Let's Go Brandon.
Now, there's a lot of debate about whether that was her own naivety or whether she, as a reporter with the mainstream media, was trying to cover up the embarrassment of Joe Biden. Which do you think it was, Jim?
I don't think she even had a clue. I think that's what she was hearing because she was caught up in the moment.
Okay.
But it turned out to be a cultural phenomenon. And so now there's T-shirts and hats.
And somebody asked Biden about it the other day, and he said he thought it was great, which just shows how clueless he is to everything that's going on right now.
Also, breaking news on that stuff, too. So first off, it was actually in Alabama, the race. But anyways, Brandon won.
Are you sure about it?
It was at
fact check.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, fact check.
Yeah, let's get a Facebook fact check on this. You can take that to the bank.
He wanted to put Let's Go Brandon on his car, Brandon Brown, the race car driver, and NASCAR just announced today that they're not allowing that to happen at all. So, which is, one side, it's surprising because the audience is for that, I would say, for NASCAR for the most part. But at the other hand, NASCAR doesn't want to be, quote, canceled.
On one hand, it's like cowardly giving into the whole woke culture and cancel culture. But on the other hand, I guess it could be argued that it's just supposed to be a race and we're not supposed to get political. So I suppose we could give them the benefit of the doubt. But in this fear-mongering culture, I'm inclined to think that it was just them covering their own butts. That's the way it seems.
You can get political in sports. You just can't get political...
Politically conservative in sports. Yeah.
Those are the
rules.
Okay. Can we move on to predictions for this year?
Oh, so we go from the eulogies of the past to the predictions of the future. We run the gamut here at KCBQ. Go ahead.
I'll probably be more accurate on who I said died last year than I will on...
It's a little more accurate to read the papers and predict who died after you read it in the papers than it is to predict in the future. Yes, I'll agree with that, Jim.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. A few sports things. I am predicting that the Georgia Bulldogs will win the college football championship, and that's not a big stretch. I mean, they're playing Alabama.
Wait. Before you go on, did you predict that UCLA was going to pull out at the last minute because of COVID? I'm sorry that I keep bringing everything back to COVID.
I had tickets to go to that game.
You had tickets to go to that game?
Yeah, thank you so much.
See, we try to move on to sports. Everything just slides back to COVID. Sorry, Jim, but I couldn't resist because that was kind of a big elephant in the room when we're making sports predictions
here. Just stop it. Okay. So I'm picking Georgia. I am picking the New England Patriots to win the Super Bowl. Now I'm doing
Brendan's shaking his head. Now, I don't follow sports for Adam, but Brendan at least is shaking his head. I know he follows sports.
I could have said the New England Chargers, and you might not have known. But
I knew the Chargers weren't in New England. That one I at least knew.
They're not in San Diego either.
They're in L.A., right? Are they still in L.A.? I guess I don't follow it that much. I assume they're still in L.A.
I've been picking the Patriots for over a month, and I'm sticking with it.
Okay, we'll have more of your predictions when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here's another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Yes, it's still Christmas time here on the Bob Siegel Show, and it's still the show who's talking about Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, making some pop culture predictions, particularly in the area of sports. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Okay. Now, assuming that the NCAA Division I men's basketball tournament is not canceled again because of COVID, which we've now mentioned 35 times.
I promise I won't mention it a 40th time. I'm straining to not cross my fingers while I make the promise.
I'm predicting that Mike Krzyzewski, a.k.a. Coach K, will lead Duke to another title in his final season before he retires. And
I wish the audience finally could see the expressions on Brendan's face while you're making. He's kind of like,
I can sort of see it.
I was just talking about this earlier. And get ready. The World Series, again, unless the work stoppage is not resolved, the World Series will be won by, drum roll, please, your San Diego Padres.
That's not happening. Stop it. Hold on.
Hey, listen.
That was so funny. You
stunned him so much with that prediction that he delayed the sound effects there.
I know. We talked about it before the show. Okay. Now, moving on to other areas, I will predict that once again, I will not be watching the Academy Awards. But I predict West Side Story will win Best Picture.
Yeah, and I've got some things to say about that. Maybe I should save it for a different show. But anyway, go ahead, continue.
The show in itself, yeah. I predict that Will Smith will win the Oscar for Best Male Lead for his role as the father of tennis stars Venus and Serena Williams in the movie King Richard.
Okay, I did not see that. I did see West Side Story, and I made a bunch of predictions about West Side Story before I saw West Side Story. But go ahead, continue.
Did you like West Side Story?
I did, more than I thought I would. However, the things I predicted that they would do, they did do. They kept it a little more in the background than I thought. Again, a show, and maybe when you come back on in 2 weeks, we can talk a little bit more about that. There's a whole podcast people would listen to that I review what I'm sure they're going to do in West Side Story. And it did happen. I was correct, but it could have been worse.
It could have been worse. I haven't seen it yet, but I understand they used the original songs.
They did use the original songs. They didn't mess with the melodies. Yeah. Boy, you're tempting me to get into it, and I don't want to take away from your last few minutes of predictions.
That's a future show.
That's a future show. Put a peg in that.
Okay. I'll have to watch it now so we can talk about
Well, go listen to my podcast of predictions first. It was a couple of weeks ago. Listen to the Bob Siegel Show podcast and listen to my predictions. Then go see it and see how I did. I didn't do bad, if I say so myself.
Oh, and I meant to mention, speaking of podcasts, you know, I'm doing a podcast on the same network you are. And the next two I have, next Wednesday and the following Wednesday, are on the topic Fear Not.
Oh, which I started off this. Well, that just shows that the same Holy Spirit inspiring you is inspiring me. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Politically, I'm predicting that the Republicans will barely gain a majority in the House and in the Senate but there will not be the big red wave that people are saying is going to happen. I think they'll gain a few, but because election integrity is an endangered species, I don't think it's going to be overwhelming.
Well, that was the caveat I was going to add. It's pending election integrity, which is a big pending.
Which is almost doesn't exist. But the damage has already been done. It's going to be so hard to ever recover. But I think that that party will gain back enough to unseat Queen Nancy, the Wicked Witch of the Winter, or whatever she is. And maybe we'll play Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. I don't think you should be so
insulting to the real Wicked Witch of the West of the Wizard of Oz. It's very unfair to her to compare her to Nancy.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay. And as a result of that, if that happens, I think we will hear Joe Biden do his best LBJ, I shall not seek and I will not accept the nomination for my party for another term as your president.
Well,
I
think we're going to hear maybe. That. It all depends on what his master Geppetto allows him to do. So,
well, it all depends on if he can read his notes.
I think that ship sailed a long time ago.
Okay. We just lost all of your liberal listeners.
Both of them?
I think it's going to be a crazy midterm, Bob. I think it's going to be a crazy
midterm. I think it
midterm.
Is, too. I think if it was a real election, I believe so many people, including Democrats, including independents, including people that may be liberal but not downright Marxists, would be part of this red wave. But this administration and Congress right now is trying to federally change election law so that even your state, Texas, has to do the mail-in ballots. They get away with that before the midterm election, and all bets are off.
I mean, look at the earlier today.
Know,
his
that,
approval
yeah,
rating, it was like so that. Low. It was like 40% or
something.
Yeah,
you
like
look
that.
At the approval ratings, but you could look at the approval ratings of Newsom before the recall election, which I don't believe was a fair election either. Anyway. Go ahead, Jim. Continue with your predictions.
Well, I think that freedom in our country is on life support. And if it dies, it will surely be COVID-related.
Yes. Boy, that's fair. That was very profound, Jim. So you get me to hold back on the COVID, and you made the next COVID. That was a good one, though.
I can't help it.
That was profound. I would not have said that.
Feel free to borrow that.
Well, if I do, I'll give you credit, because I usually like to do my own material. You're right, because it is COVID-related, because that's the excuse they're using to shut all our freedoms down. Very profound, my friend, very profound.
That was the point. Now, and I'm going to close, as I have been for quite some time now, with my conviction that the only thing that can save this country is a genuine spiritual renewal. Use your vote, vote your conscience, vote educated, use your voice, stand, sign petitions, march, whatever you need to do, but most of all, use your prayer. Use your voice talking to the creator of this universe and beseech him.
Yes, because he could cause the voter fraud to implode. He could do that. All things work together for good to those who love God, and God's ways are not our ways. He could cause that to happen, but I keep saying this, it's going to depend on whether the leadership of the so-called Bible-believing churches caves to the culture or does, as Jesus told them to do, be the salt and light of the culture. That's what it's going to depend on.
Yeah. I have said now for years, judgment doesn't begin in the White House, it begins in God's house. And our help does not come from Capitol Hill, but from Calvary Hill. And so all of a sudden I got real serious here, but we are dealing with serious things. But folks, the solution to our problem is not just political, social, intellectual, educational. The solution is a spiritual change that needs to take place. It needs to begin in the church. It needs to begin with people in the pulpit, of whom I spent 40 years being a pastor. They need to not be afraid to tell the truth. They need to not be afraid to call out things that are wrong. And I think there's just too much political correctness and too much fear of being punished for telling the truth. And there has to be a change. It has to go from the pulpit to the pew. And when we see that, then I think there will be hope.
Well said, my friend.
That's the only hope that I have.
Very well said, Jim, and I'm looking forward to having you back in 2 weeks. I will be back with everybody next week. I want Jim and Brendan and all of the audience to know that while Jim was saying his profound things just now, I was keeping my promise and holding in about 5 sarcastic mask statements I was still going to make, but I held them in anyway because that's just the kind of guy I am. And would our Lord do less? We will see you next week on The Bob Siegel Show.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.